The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 17 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would bless now the preaching of the word. Speak to our hearts in a very real and very personal way, a very powerful way. And use this time, Lord, to draw each of us closer to you. And I do pray, Lord, if there be one here today that has never received Christ as their Savior, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to bring conviction to their heart. The reality of their sin, the reality of their need of Jesus, the reality of a heaven and the reality of a hell. And today that they would call upon Christ and be gloriously saved. Now help me as I preach this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, actually, I'm going to start this message where I'm going to end this message. And that, quickly, if you'll look at verse 32, I'll say more about this in a bit, but at the end of the message. But Paul reminds us of this truth. He says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So the reality is this morning, that everything I am about to say and everything I am about to preach is based upon the fact that Christ forgave you and forgave me of my sin. Okay, everything else is going to fall upon that truth. And that's really what Paul is saying here when he brings up the topic of forgiveness and the other topics. It's really the why we need to do what the Lord has asked us to do in His Word. Now, understand this morning, that the Bible was written to be obeyed, not just studied. Okay, did you get that? The Bible was written to be obeyed, not just studied. That's why throughout the Bible you'll see a lot of wherefores and you'll see a lot of therefores. And just look here, and just at a couple of them. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I therefore. Well, whenever you see a therefore or a wherefore, it's to call to our attention the teaching that came before it. Look, verse 17 of our text. He says, this I say, therefore. And I don't have time to go back and to teach all of these principles that the Word of God is teaching here, but I'm just pointing this out. Look at verse 25 of our text. Wherefore? Again, he's drawing our attention to some things that come before this. Chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, but be ye therefore. He's drawing our attention to things that were instructed to us prior to this. Verse 7 of chapter 5, he says, be not ye therefore. And we could go on and on and on. So the point of that is this. The Bible was written, not for you and I, just to read it and to study it, but it was written for you and I to make application to our life. Okay? Somebody want to help Manny find the text there? He's looking for it, and it'll help him if he knows exactly where we're reading. All right? So Ephesians chapter 4. Now, much of the Bible deals with unity. Much of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians deals with unity. But this morning, we're not so much dealing with unity as much as we're dealing with purity. Because without purity amongst the believers, you'll have a very difficult time of having unity. And Paul addresses some things here, and I'm always amazed as I read through the book of Ephesians, or any of Paul's epistles, how many problems and difficulties and issues that Paul had to deal with in the churches as he wrote to them these epistles or as he visited them. So let's look at some things this morning and then make application to our lives. So number one, we look in verse 17, actually verses 17 through 21. And our topic, of course, has been these last several weeks, setting our affections on things above, thinking about heaven, thinking about heavenly things. And Paul writes this, and our first point on our message this morning is the idea of faith. And not even so much our saving faith, but we've accepted Christ as our Savior. We've placed our faith in Him, but now the Word of God is a body of truth that we look at, we read, we make application to our lives, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we implement these things. So verse 17 through 22 says this, this I say therefore and testify on the Lord that you don't walk as other Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind. He's talking about those that are without Christ. Their understanding in verse 18 is darkened. We talked about that in our adult Sunday school this morning. They're alienated. They're separated from the life of God. They're ignorant with regards to these things. You and I as believers, we're not ignorant of these things. These should be things that we're aware of. Okay, we cannot claim ignorance. We sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. We open up the Scriptures. We read the Scriptures, so we're not ignorant. It's right there for us. It's laid out for us. But there's a blindness in their hearts. Well, our hearts have been enlightened. So really, the idea is, listen, we have a body of truth. It's our faith. When Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, it's because we walk in faith. We walk by faith. We trust God by faith. Verse 20, he says, you have not so learned Christ. If so be ye heard of him and have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus. So we have this body of truth. It's our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so as we begin to go through this message here and we begin to look at these points that are laid out in Ephesians, it's all part of our faith. And then he does talk about others, and I just mentioned those. The others. The others. Don't be as others. Don't be as the Gentiles. Don't be as those who are darkened. Don't be as those who don't have the faith. Look in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation whereof ye are called. In other words, we've been called. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. Now walk worthy of that calling. And it's all based on the premise that Jesus laid down His life and shed His blood for us on the cross. He became our ransom. Walk worthy of that. And then He says, with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. Thinking of one another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. See, it's all about others. Our walk with the Lord. And because Christ died for you and Christ died for me, we need to think about others in our relationship as a body of believers. Paul said this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, the reality is this morning that any one of us can be tempted to sin and fall into the trappings of sin. Any one of us. That's why it's so important that you and I, we are used of the Lord to build one another up in the faith, to be an encouragement to one another. Ethan spoke this morning in the adult Sunday school about walking in darkness, and as a believer walks further and further and further away from the Lord, they walk further and further and further into darkness. Sometimes when that happens, it's our responsibility to love them back to the light. And sometimes it's our responsibility to rebuke them back to the light. You see much in Paul's writings, he's had to rebuke the Christians time and time again. You've done wrong, he says. Repent and return. I preached last week out of the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church. You see that message there often. Repent. But others. Our Christian life is about others. In the church, it's about others. In your home, it's about others. At work, it's about others. The other day, I was working this part-time job that I work sometimes, and there was a function where I worked, and they were having a fundraiser for cancer. It was a dinner of 200 people, and so this part-time job that I have, I drive a shuttle bus, and it was me and one other fella, and they were worried they couldn't fit everybody in the upper parking lot, and so we were there, if they had to park them in the lower parking lot, to then shuttle them to the meal and to the fundraiser. And one of the young men that I was working with, who professes, he and his girlfriend attended a Baptist church growing up in New York City. He professes faith in Christ. Neither of them are walking with the Lord right now. They both realize it. And I've had opportunity to talk with him about the things of God. But anyhow, so the point of this is, he and I were working, and I said to him, I said, you know, I think we can get everybody up in this lot. Let's try this, 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 and this. And so we did, and we got everybody in the lot. And it's a big lot, and I still had to shuttle some people. It was raining. It was muddy. But one of the supervisors came by, and I could see the fellow that I was working with telling the supervisor what and how we did all of this. And I thought to myself, at first the flesh kind of took over, and I thought, there's this fella, he's telling the supervisor all these ideas that I just came up with. And then I thought, you know, this young man, he needs a little help in life. And I'm not going to be making a career out of this part-time job. He's trying to get on full-time and make somewhat of a career out of it. And I've been encouraging this young man to marry this young woman. And he needs to get a job, and they need to get married. And the young gal, whenever I'm talking and she's around and I'm encouraging this young man to marry her, she's all smiles. Like, what are you waiting for? You've been together for 8 years. Anyhow, there's a lot of situations in life. It's about others. Just stepping aside and building up others in the faith. And in the home, it's about building up our spouse. In the home, it's about building up our children. And Paul writes this to these believers in Ephesians. It's about others. You know, I'm about to ask some of you, ask yourself this question. Can you say hello? Can you say welcome? And can you say glad to see you? Vicki says she can do that. Perfect. Because what I'm thinking of in the future is replacing the men ushers out front as the greeters and asking just different people at different times to stand out there and greet people. Husbands and wives. Sometimes I kind of recognize them, like, it's kind of like the gauntlet out there. Like there's like four or five men. And I appreciate you men that are standing there and doing it. But if a family comes and there's a lady standing out there saying, gee, it's good to see you, it's a little less threatening. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's all about others. And so, I don't know, you think about that. You know, and it's been really the same men for years that have stood out there and been, but how about it, ladies? Not getting many amens off of that one. It's amen. It's just about others. You know, that's what we come, we're a body of believers. And I know, ladies, many of you, you'll go up and you'll greet people. But to stand out, just be welcome, glad that you're here. And I've been to many churches where they have greeters, and often there's a husband and a wife couple that does it. I'm not asking you to preach. I'm not asking you to teach. I'm not asking you to sing a song. I'm asking, can you say, hello, glad to see you're here. Exactly. And it doesn't have to be a husband and wife. It could be like two ladies as a team. You don't wonder who I'm thinking about right now. But I'm not saying that you do it every week. What if you did it just once a month? Right? It's just about others. The Christian life is about others. And then let's get into this here. There's renewal that takes place in our lives. Verses 22 down through 25. So we're reminded here that you put off concerning the former conversation, or that word means behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen, there's a great renewal that took place in your life because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. It's the Spirit of the living God that's living inside of you. If you're availing yourself to the Spirit of the living God. There's a beautiful example in the Bible of Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. He laid in the grave dead for 4 days, and the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he stood outside. In fact, the Bible says, shortest verses in the Bible is when Jesus saw their lack of faith, and the Bible says that Jesus wept. But he stood there at the grave of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth from the grave, and you know what Jesus' instruction was? He said, remove the grave clothes from him. Warren Wiersbe, in one of his commentaries, in fact, his commentary in the book of Ephesians, he makes this statement that you and I, as believers, we need to take off the grave clothes and we need to put on the grace clothes. And that's part of our walk. That's the renewal that we have in Christ. So someone says, I don't know if I can even say hello to someone. No, maybe you can't, but by the grace of God, you can. See, that's the whole point of being saved. God give you the strength and the boldness even to do that. Listen, I have, in my entire life, I have been a shy person. You say, you don't seem shy. I have battled shyness my entire life. I have a hard time making conversation. I don't have a hard time standing up and preaching. But making conversation, I have struggled with it my whole life. And I pray and I ask God to help me make conversation. I'm just not a good conversationalist. I've always, by nature, been a quiet person. It drives my wife nuts. It was really early in our marriage. We went to a marriage seminar, Christian marriage seminar. And it was one of the things that really God really spoke to my heart about. That back then, before I was in the ministry, I'd come home from work. I'd have to stop and I'd have to ask the Lord to give me grace just to have a conversation, a meaningful conversation with my wife. Because I've just by nature been a very quiet and inward type of a person. So I understand when people say, well, but that's the new life that we have in Christ. That's taking off the grave clothes and putting on the grace clothes. It's the renewal that we have. It's the power that we have that resides within us because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And so Paul writes and he says, listen, you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind. You put on that new man. This is not a passive attitude. It's an aggressive act. The old mode of living is to be abandoned. And then he lists some things here. He gets really personal. Look what he says. To the believers, he says in verse 25, wherefore, put away lying. What is lying? It's the intent to deceive. It's the intent to deceive. Apparently, in the early church, they had a problem with lying. And really, in the early church, in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira had a real problem with lying. In fact, they were called out on, and they both died. They were struck dead. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 15, though this, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things. There's a big difference between truth and lying. But lying is the intent to deceive. There's no time in our Christian lives where we should feel free to lie. It has a spiritual impact upon our lives. And sometimes it's not so much what we say, it's what we do. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I can't come to church because I took a job. Well, sometimes people take a job purposely. So it interferes with church. Really, you say? Yeah, listen, I've been at this for almost 30 years, yeah. Absolutely. I like what one evangelist said. I may get this wrong. I actually didn't hear him say this. I heard somebody else said this. But a lot of parents will sacrifice their kids' spiritual well-being for a minimum paying job. A minimum wage job. Sure, son. Sure. Now, and I think kids should work. But you sacrifice your kid to let them go to work on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Bible study youth group night. For $8 an hour? It is the fountainhead. It is the first step to that child not going to church at all. It happened in my life. My parents let me work on Sunday when I was in high school. I was a lifeguard at a place called Forest Lodge. It was the beginning of years and years and years where I had no interest in spiritual things. I was excited to work on Sunday. That means I didn't have to go and sit under the preaching of the Word. So sometimes we can lie to ourselves. But he goes on and he says in verse 25, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Then he goes on and he says this, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. This anger that he's talking about is an uncontrolled outburst. You know, the Bible says in James, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. And he says in verse 27 that this is where the fountainhead of this, don't give place to the devil. Ooh. When we allow anger to control our lives, we're really giving a foothold in our lives, our family lives, could be in our church life, to the devil. It's a beachhead where he operates. Then he says this, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have need. He may have to give to him that needeth. Well, I just said that working is good. We should work. We should be industrious, but not at the cost of our spiritual walk. The thief, the Bible says, cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. We work with our hands. We work hard. And then he gives reason so that we can be generous with that which we have. That's part of the others. It's part of the renewal. It's part of who we are. And by the way, we give not ever expecting to return. Sometimes we give and it seems we do things for folks. We help folks. And then when you think, well, that would have an impression upon them, that might even draw them closer to the Lord, it doesn't seem to have any effect. But we just give because Christ gave. That's part of our renewal. That's part of who we are. And then he goes on and he says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is used good to the use of edifying." That little phrase there, corrupt communication. That word corrupt, it means like it could be used to call fruit rotten. Have you ever been around rotten fruit? It stinks. It reeks. It smells. And that's the type of talk that we have sometimes. How about the talk in our homes? What do our kids hear us say? Sometimes I wonder if our young people, they grow up in a home and all they hear is stinky fruit talk. And then we wonder why they don't want to go to church, they don't want to be Christians any longer. Do we ever take a step back and say, maybe they're just thinking, why would I want that? Or we're angry all the time. Or listen, kids see if mom and dad are living a lie. And then we wonder, well, I can't figure it out. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, there's supposed to be a renewal. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is to be renewed day by day. And that only happens when we set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Listen, stealing and wrath and anger and filthy communication, these are all the things of this world. But as Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, Jesus came to deliver us from this evil world. And I'm afraid sometimes we allow him to deliver us from hell, but we don't allow him to deliver us from wrath and anger and filthy communication and all of this. And we should think, when our minds are on heavenly things, what we should think is, wow, this is wrong because of what Jesus has done for us. How he forgave me. So Paul was really strong with the church in Ephesus about this. And he says in verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." These things grieve the Spirit of God. It's hurtful to the Spirit of God. Be careful we're not grieving him. Because when we grieve the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God can't work in and through us. And you'd think Paul was done, but he's not done. I guess the Holy Spirit wanted him to continue, because in verses 31 down to 32, he begins to talk about bitterness. Bitterness. You know what someone once said? That bitterness is settled hostility that poisons the inner man. Bitterness is a settled hostility that poisons the inner man. Do you know that you will, unless you get bitterness right in your heart, it doesn't matter. You can change all of your circumstances, but bitterness will never go away. It's a root that lives within you. Bitterness. And wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Bitterness is the fountainhead of wrath. Bitterness is the fountainhead of anger. Bitterness is the fountainhead of clamor and of evil speaking. And Paul says, let it be put away from you. Get it out of your life. Remove it from your life. And the victory is and can be assured for you and I, because the victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. When he talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit, but when we depend upon the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the victory over the bitterness and the anger and the clamor and the evil speaking. That's where the victory comes from. And then he finishes up in verse 32 where he says, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And he brings us back to where we began. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Just as Jesus looked at you, Jesus saw you for not your very best, but your very worst, all of your sin, all of your rejection of him through life, all of that, all of the deceitfulness of the heart, he saw all of that. He saw, I was talking with someone earlier today about how our, in fact, he used this quotation. He says, you know, sometimes your past, it just kind of catches up with you and it kind of pops its ugly head. That's right. And we're not to dwell on the past. We're to be looking, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But bitterness comes from often dwelling on the past. Bitterness and anger comes from dwelling on the past. Clamor comes from dwelling on the... Set your affections on things above. Set them there, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father, where he's already given us victory over death and his victory over sin. That's where the victory comes from. And so it's great to study and it's great to know these verses, but then the application has to take place. These truths, we walk by faith. Sometimes I run into people that say, well, I'm just giving up because God, I'm disappointed how God treated me. I'm disappointed in what God did in my life. I did this Christian life and I did this and I did this and God let me down. I say this, that God owes you and God owes me absolutely nothing. Nothing. God can't let you down because he won't be a debtor to anyone. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe you anything. We've all had setbacks in life. We just walk by faith. Some of you that have lost a child, you've continued. You've pressed on toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And a brother, my oldest brother took his own life. I don't walk around saying, well, God let me down. I prayed for him. My father died when he was a year younger than I am now. I don't walk around saying, oh, God let me down. God owes me nothing. I owe him everything. And when anger and wrath and malice and all this creeps into our life, it's because we think sometimes, well, God just, he just owes me. No, he doesn't. Because we're reminded, when we set our affections on things above, when Paul said, you and I need to be kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, because God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. That's a powerful thought. Jesus hung on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He allowed the thorns to be placed on His head for you. He allowed Himself to be beaten for you and mocked for you, to be scourged for you. And He hung there suspended between heaven and earth with all of your sin and all of my sin being placed upon Him. And when we place our faith and trust in what He did for us, He forgives us. Gives us eternal life. And not only that, but then He promises to give us a victorious life. And so, I think we understand this morning that these sins that I talked about, none of these sins in and of themselves send us to hell. None of these sins in and of themselves, listen, all of us at times, I'm sure, many of these things and others we are guilty of in our lives as believers. But we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to get these things right, to not be controlled by them, to not be imprisoned by them. And unless we get them right, unless we learn to forgive, unless we learn to depend upon the Holy Spirit to enable us, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are, these things will impact you for the rest of your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed this morning, with our eyes closed, if God's spoken to your heart, then you need to spend time with Him. You do. What's controlling your life? Jesus or bitterness? Jesus or wrath? Jesus or anger? Jesus or evil speaking? Jesus or thievery? Jesus or lying? Jesus or corrupt communication out of our mouths? What is it that's controlling your life? And I pray and I trust that as the Word went forth, that the Holy Spirit brought a conviction to your heart, and that you'll take some time, and that as we learned in our Sunday school class today, you'll just confess this before Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And whether you spend some time with Him at the privacy of your seat or you come down to the altar, that's between you and God. But I know all of these things, when we're guilty of them, it's because we're not setting our affection on things above. We're setting our affection on the things of this world. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, listen, there's as real as there's a heaven, there's a hell also. And you need to be saved this morning. You need to call upon Christ to be your Savior. You need to realize you're a sinner. You're a hell-bound sinner. You need to realize that Jesus died for your sin so that your sin could be paid for. He paid for it on the cross. And if you'll call upon Him, if you'll receive Him as your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. They'll be washed away. Because He paid the debt. And you become a child of God. Father, bless the invitation this morning. Speak to our hearts as you see fit. I pray for these characteristics, really, that are not to be found in the Christian life, but are found in the world's life, the people of the world, that you would bring just a strong conviction, that we would realize that these things are sinful, that they have an impact upon our personal lives, our home life, our church life. And if you're here today with our heads bowed and your eyes closed and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'd like to be sure before I leave this place." Would you right now just slip up your hand and put it down? Anyone at all? "Preacher, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to thank you. I see your hand. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'd like to know for sure today before I leave." Anyone else? Father, bless now as we sing the invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.